Well, good morning to you. Welcome back to the God School. I want to get right into the teaching this morning. I want you to open your Bibles to the sixth chapter of the book of Judges. Now, the assignment this week is to read the whole story of Gideon. We're not going to do it today. I'm going to hit on some key phrases, and hopefully communicate a very important concept or understanding of God and our relationship with Him. Sixth chapter opens and says, "And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Midianites 7 years." It says, whenever they gathered increase, the Midians were on them like grasshoppers, or the better picture is like a locust. They came and devoured the increase. They were in terrible shape. And it came to pass, it says in the seventh verse, the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up out from Egypt, and brought you forth out of the house of bondage, and I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptian, out of the hand of all them that oppressed you, and drave them out from before you, and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell, but ye have not obeyed my voice." And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak, which was in Ophrah, that pertained to Joash, the Abiezrite, and his son Gideon, threshed wheat, better translated, in the winepress, to hide it from the Midians. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, "The Lord is with thee." And I want you to have a pen out, because we're going to make a correction or two in here. King James says, "The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor." Sorry, that's not what it says. It says, "The Lord is with thee, the one mighty in valor." You know, you're not going to find a mighty man of valor threshing wheat in a depressed area called a wine press. He's hiding. He's just trying to eke out a living or enough food for the day. "The Lord is with thee, the one mighty in valor." Mighty man of valor doesn't speak like this. Gideon's response is, "And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord." Dr. Scott used to call this the language of doubt. "O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles, which our fathers told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. Language of doubt. Oh, my Lord, if, why, where be, has forsaken. And have you ever had those words come out of your mouth or enter your mind? Sure have in my case. And the Lord looked upon him and said, Go, in this thy might, underline that, those words, go in this thy might, thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Underline these words, have not I sent thee? This is his might, this is his strength. Have not I sent thee? The answer is yes. And that, the word of the Lord, was his might. And he said, he continues, it's going to turn out that, you know, Gideon finally realizes this is the Lord himself that's talking to him, not just an angel. But Gideon continues. And he, that is Gideon, said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I'm the least in my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, Surely I will be with thee. Underline those words. And he, it says, said unto him, that is Gideon, said unto him, that is the angel of the Lord, that is the Lord himself, If now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest to me. Now all of a sudden Gideon's going to get religious. He wants to go and do the custom of the day, you know, make a meal offering. He does. You know, what God does with that meal offering is he burns it right up. We're not going to go and get into the nuances of that one. It says in the 22nd verse, And when Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, Alas, O Lord God, because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face. You know, in that day, to see God face to face meant you were dead. That's why he cries, alas. Finally, he gets his act together a little bit and says in the 24th verse, Then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom. That is the Lord, our peace. I hope you get the message as we go along. Here's one trying to eke out a living just for the day. That's his only hope. God comes and visits him and says, he makes a mighty promise that he's going to save, and Gideon comes up with the language of doubt, and he eventually makes his peace. You go on to read it. The Lord tells him to take a young bullock, to throw down the altars of Baal at his father's house, to build another altar. 27th verse, it says, and then Gideon took 10 men of his servants and did as the Lord had said unto him. And so it was, because he feared his father's household and the men of the city, that he could not do it by day, that he did it by night. We need to put flesh and blood on these men and women of Scripture. He's full of the language of doubt, comes to the understanding that he's seen an angel of the Lord, or the Lord himself, actually, face to face, and he's not dead. He builds an altar. He calls it Jehovah Shalom, our peace. Gets an instruction. Just told that the Lord's with him, the one mighty in valor, that his might would be that God sent him. But he still feared, so he did it by night. He took a step. And the father who had these altars and groves to Baal, having seen the son step out in faith and do what God had instructed, he stands up for his son. Fourth verse of that sixth chapter says, but the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. It says, literally, clothed himself on Gideon. And Gideon blew a trumpet in Abiezer. Hebrew names have meanings. It means, my father, help. It's not a prayer. It's a declaration. You read the rest of the chapter. Gideon puts God to test again with a fleece. You know, you've heard that saying in churches, I put my fleece out to the Lord. Well, here's where it comes from. Read from 36 through the rest of the chapter. It says, then Jerubbaal, that's Gideon, by the way. Then Jerubbaal, who is Gideon, and all the people that were with him rose up early, and he pitched beside the well of Harod, so that the host of the Midianites were on the north side of them by the hill Moreh in the valley. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into the hands of Israel, or into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, God, saying, mine own hand has saved me. And God tells a story that there was 32,000 people gathered, and God put them to a test and sent some away. Then there were 10,000. God put them to a test and sent those away, and there wound up only 300. We come to the understanding there were 250,000 Midianites, and God reduces the number of Israelites to 300. The New Testament makes the declaration. There is nothing impossible with God. If you go on to read the rest of the story, it's an incredible story. In fact, if God had not included this story in His Word, I could have doubt. But He did include it. And my doubts are at least eased. And I and you can claim as Gideon at that altar. That altar is either a place of death or a place of commitment. We can make the claim of the promise. God, our peace. But today I want to take a deeper look, especially if there are any religious people out there listening. I want to take a deeper look at this second verse of the seventh chapter. It says, of the 32,000 that are gathered to fight 250,000, more than 10 times their number, or 10 times, little less than 10 times their number. I'm sorry, I don't want to embellish. The people that are with thee are too many. For me, to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand has saved me. As I was preparing to speak on Gideon, something leaped out at me, and the marginal reference had many references to other scriptures. I want to go through a few. It first would bring us to Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter. The 11th verse says, beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, lest when thou hast eaten and are full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up. Beware, then thy heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt and from the house of bondage, who led thee through the great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and droughts, and there was no water. Who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint? Who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee, to do thee good at thy latter end. Beware lest thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of my hand has gotten me this. Selah. Think of that. In the 9th chapter of Deuteronomy, it says, speak not thou in thine heart, after that the Lord thy God has cast them out from before thee, saying, for my righteousness the Lord has brought me in to possess the land. But for the wickedness of these nations, the Lord has drave them out from before thee. Not for your righteousness or for the uprightness of your heart dost thou go to possess the land, but for the wickedness of these nations, the Lord thy God did drive them out from before you, and that he may perform the word which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You notice the subject of these verses? It is the Lord our God, with whom nothing is impossible. In David's confrontation with Goliath, 1 Samuel 17, the 46th verse says, David, a man after God's own heart, he declares, this day the Lord will deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know there is a God in Israel, and all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give it into our hands. Again, if we go to Psalm 33, the 16th verse, there is no king saved by the multitude of an host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. A horse is a vain thing for safety. Neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, and upon that hope in his mercy. That is, in God's mercy. We come to a verse that I've come to an understanding of, that I'm gently and often reminded of. That is the 23rd and 24th verses of the 9th chapter of Jeremiah. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. Let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord which exercise. I am the Lord which exercise. God's working loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these, that is God in exercising loving kindness and judgment and righteousness, hesed, it's mercy, it's grace, loving kindness, judgment, safat, he laid that which was due all of us on his Son Jesus Christ on Calvary. That's his exercise of judgment in the earth. And righteousness, tzedek is the word, it's keeping covenant. He does what he says he will do, our God. We'll glory in him. We'll glory because of him. He exercises these things in the earth, for in these things I delight, God delights, saith the Lord. I want you to understand when we go back to that second verse where it says, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand has saved me. The word in the Hebrew is pawar, and it means to boast. It means to embellish. Listen to this. It means to explain oneself. Somebody once said, 99% of explanations are lies. We should, well, we're going to go on before I draw a conclusion to this. I hope some lights are being turned on here. In Zechariah, the 4th chapter, the 6th verse, it says, then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, who's speaking this? God, saying, not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the host, saith the Lord of hosts. In 1 Corinthians 1:29, it begins to say that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him, that is of God, are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God, that is Jesus, of God, is made unto us wisdom and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, the word is, in the Greek, kalkesis, boast. Gene Scott used to do a play of words and says of this word, kaka. I hope you all know what that denotes. He that boasts, let him boast in the Lord, that no flesh should boast in his presence. But of him, that is of God, are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God, that is Jesus of God. Oh, I'm sorry, I repeated myself here. Second Corinthians 4:6 says, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. You want to know what the glory of God is? It is Jesus Christ. The apostle said, we beheld his glory. Listen. The light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Then Paul adds a but. He says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. I love one translation. It says, cracked pots. That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. In 2 Corinthians 10, beginning in the 15th verse, King James gets the word right here. It says, not boasting of things without measure, that is, of other men's labors, but having hope, when your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly. A side note, what was Paul's rule? It is, if you've been taught in the Word of God, you're to share materially with the one who taught you. He says that we shall be enlarged. That is, give earthly enablement according to our rule to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you and not to boast in another man's lines made ready to our hands. I'm having trouble reading this morning. Stay with me. Not to boast in another man's lines of things made ready to our hand, but he that boasts, let him boast in the Lord, for not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth. We need to put flesh and blood on this story of Gideon. This, you know, if it were in any other book, I wouldn't believe it. I'd say it was a fictional account. God says in the 7th verse of the 7th chapter of the 7th book of the Bible, by the 300 men, will I say? There's good boasting and bad boasting, as it says in the 27th verse of the 3rd chapter of the book of Romans, after Paul has explained the source and completing and completion of our salvation is in Jesus Christ, he says, who did it himself, by himself, for himself, Paul says, where is boasting then? That's bad catechesis. I did it by mine own hand. No, we need to always and everywhere give all glory to God. Should God do something amazing in our lives, give God the credit. Always. Where is the boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. You know, if you have a testimony of what you have done that you think is going to be pleasing to God, Paul says, no, that boasting is excluded by the law of faith. The Ephesian letter tells us, by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourself, it is a gift of God. That we might always and everywhere be aware of God's presence with us, and that he might always be the subject of our boast, not the boast of ourselves, but the boast of God. I'm going to leave you with these words, which I first heard from Gene Scott. I think he got them from someone else. It's it is related to this flesh and blood man, Gideon, who spoke with an angel of the Lord, no, better yet, the Lord himself, face to face, who after that meeting still expressed in the language of doubt his doubts. In our flesh and blood life here, and the encounters of doubt, and look, I'm not one who speaks to you as one who has no doubts. But one who, by these words, not only want to encourage you, but to encourage myself. I got these words from Gene Scott, and it says, doubt, seize the obstacles. Faith, seize the way. Doubt, seize the dark night. Faith, seize the day. Doubt ceases to take the step. Faith leaps on high. Doubt says, who believes? Faith says I. We're a small congregation, but we are delivering the Word of God, particularly the gospel of Jesus Christ, to the whole world. And as we continue in faith, who knows what God will do with us? That's the God School for today.